Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I am Jonathan Friedman, and I'm joined by our longtime reporter, business litigation reporter, Mark Furman of Tarlow Breed, Hart & Rogers. Mark, how are you today?
I'm great, Jonathan. Nice to be with you.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Mark. And I know that you've got some timely and topical and interesting case to discuss with us today.
Yes, I wanted to follow up on the DraftKings FanDuel story that I've been reporting on. As you may recall, the Attorney General in New York has decided that it's illegal gambling, and DraftKings and FanDuel filed separate lawsuits in New York to try to enjoin the Attorney General from putting them out of business. The Attorney General filed its own cases to try to put them out of business. The case came before the trial court in New York for decision, and the judge ultimately decided that it's illegal gambling under New York law, denied FanDuel and DraftKings' request for an injunction, and so was that the end of the story? No, because immediately after that decision was entered, and I'm sure there was a paper seeking to stay that decision already prepared before the decision was entered into, DraftKings and FanDuel filed a petition seeking to stay the order being entered pending a appeal decision. And in fact, they were able to obtain a stay that will keep them going until there's a further hearing on the case in January. So,
Mark, can I just stop you there for a second and sort of bring our lay listeners up to speed in terms of what the process there is? So essentially, if I understand it correctly, the Attorney General filed suit to try and shut them down, and they got a temporary halt to that. Is that what a stay does, in essence?
Yeah, they have a stay despite the fact that they lost at the trial court. They were able to get the trial court's decision temporarily stayed for a few weeks while the case is reviewed further on appeal. So, you know, anytime somebody seeks an injunction or gets an injunction, it's not uncommon that one of the parties will try to seek to overturn it. And sometimes, you know, one of the things you fight about is what's going to be the state of the world, you know, during the period that the case is being considered by an appellate court. Will the injunction remain in effect, or if the injunction is denied, you know, in this case, will DraftKings and FanDuel be able to operate in New York for the next few weeks while the case is being heard by an appellate court? So, you know, there's gigantic money involved in these businesses, so getting a stay was a good victory temporarily. However, the decision of the trial court was across the board against DraftKings and FanDuel, and a big victory for the Attorney General in New York. So, you know, the case isn't over. The legal machinery continues.
I would imagine that this is just the beginning in some regard, because as New York goes, this opens up precedent perhaps for other states to take a look at it as well.
Yeah, I mean, a bunch of states have been looking at it, and a number of states have already declared it illegal by their gaming commissions. New York has a somewhat unique framework in that the New York State Constitution has a prohibition against you know, certain types of gambling. You know, a relevant part of its constitution says no lottery or sale of lottery tickets, pool selling, bookmaking, or any other kind of gambling shall hereafter be authorized or allowed within this state, and the legislature shall pass appropriate laws to prevent offenses against any of the provisions of this section. That's not something we have in Massachusetts, certainly, and most states don't have that written into its constitution. And then there were laws passed by the legislature in New York consistent with that constitutional principle. So it is very state-specific, what's prohibited, what isn't prohibited. Here in Massachusetts, Governor Baker said he doesn't view it as gambling, he views it as a game of skill. The Attorney General, Mara Healey, rather than trying to outlaw these business models altogether, is seeking to regulate them and impose a whole set of rules regarding how the businesses can operate in Massachusetts. For example, she would prohibit any betting on college games. She'd require people to be 21 years of age or older. She'd limit the amount that can be bet at a particular time. So, you know, there's the regulatory model, there's the it's prohibited model that the Attorney General in New York says applies there, and DraftKings and FanDuel have accepted in some places by pulling out that you know, they just don't meet the requirements of that state law. So if the rules are that if a state prohibits it, then it's prohibited. So it's kind of a state-by-state analysis as to whether a state prohibits it. And it's very fact-specific as to whether it constitutes illegal gambling.
Well, it is, you know, it is interesting.
The claim of the companies was, you know, these are games of skill.
Right.
Where, you know, they cite the fact that, you know, the most skilled players win most of the money. On the other hand, their advertisements say anybody can win. You know, that's their perception, but they're very different than kind of the historical fantasy sport games where, you know, you have a team for an entire season and the amounts, so the frequency of the games was, in terms of who won and lost, were less frequent. You know, these are very different, and there's the amount of money is enormous, as I said. So we'll see how this plays out, not only in New York, but elsewhere. But these companies are, you know, they're fighting for their lives, really.
Well, it is it is interesting as you look at it. Sorry, Mark, just to make the point that as you extrapolate from this industry to other industries, and it would seem to me that there's a lot of subjectivity. I know you said that you got to look at the facts, but it seems to me there's a lot of subjectivity on behalf of either the attorney generals or the governors in a state to weigh in on these issues and make it very difficult for business to figure out, you know, whether it's in this industry or other industries that are regulated, which states they operate in, which states do they stay away from.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we live in a society that's heavily regulated, and businesses are heavily regulated for the most part. And it's important for investors and for business owners to understand the regulatory climate, the risks that they face in terms of, you know, governmental action, governmental regulation. We don't seem to get fewer and fewer regulations each year. We seem to get more and more regulations. So I think, understanding the legal climate in which you're, and the regulatory climate in which your business operates is critically important. And you can't just assume that because nobody's tried to regulate you or even shut you down in the past, that doesn't mean it's not a risk going forward. So you have to understand the risks. I mean, there are a lot of people who've invested and companies who've invested very substantial amounts of money in these companies, and they've got a thriving business. But we have a very complex set of laws that deal with gambling in our country and in states. And but you know, it's understanding the regulatory climate in which your business operates is just really important for business owners and investors. So we'll see how this plays out overall. But it's, you know, it's an interesting case. You know, you have, you know, a lot of people who who enjoy participating in these games or bets or whatever you want to call them. And I just, you know, those are people who vote. So it's just interesting to see.
Right. And the other thing that's interesting about this case in particular, well, I had two questions, but the first thing that I find interesting is that it's almost like these companies came out of nowhere in a hurry. And I think that I suspect what they had was they caught on very quickly. As you said, there's a lot of people that are into this type of thing. And then they were probably buoyed by investors, you know, bringing money into the company, which allowed them to expand and you know, you can't watch television or see any media really without hearing of them. And so they quickly accelerated their model, I think, and got many, many people involved. And so it becomes very much a public discussion. It's very topical and timely because people see it.
Right. And they had that report of an insider winning a big prize several months ago. That seems to have started regulators looking into the industry, and seems to have, you know, resulted in these various proposals, like the regulatory proposal in Massachusetts and the proposal to shut them down in New York. So that seems to have started this ball rolling, and now these companies are really under a microscope.
So the other interesting thing about this case, and you said that the Attorney General in New York sought to shut down both companies. Are they connected in the courts, or are they independent in the courts as far as the companies are concerned?
Separate cases were filed, but you know, it's going to be the same principle for both, the case. You know, I think the cases are being considered together, and the appellate rule, whatever it is, will be binding on both.
Hmm. But it's interesting that sort of, you have competitors who are obviously joined together in the common purpose here. And it'll be interesting to hear and see what's going on in the background with these companies. You know, has it brought them in alignment to try and fight these charges, or are they, you know?
Yeah, I don't know to what extent they're cooperating, but it's not, they certainly have a common interest, and it's
right.
And it's not that unusual that you know, competitors would have a common interest in certain circumstances, and this is one. So you know, whether they're sharing ideas in terms of legal arguments and the like, that I don't know, but they certainly have a common interest here, and I'm not really seeing a scenario where one wins and the other loses. You know, it looks like this is really an attack on the industry, and and it's going to be a decision that affects both of these players in the industry.
Well, I'm sure that we certainly haven't heard the end of this, and I know, Mark, we can count on you to stay tuned for the rulings that come down or the hearings that happen post the stay. It's as you said, it's a couple of week stay or a month or so.
Yeah, just a few weeks, and we'll see. You know, whether the appellate court affirms, you know, what was decided by the trial court, or whether. You know, it's altered in some way. But this case is going to end up in all likelihood in the highest court of New York, which is the Court of Appeals in New York. So we're not there yet. So I think this story will continue for a number of months. And the fact that if it's determined that these... it's illegal gambling under New York law. Again, this doesn't mean that these companies are out of business, but it does deny them access to one of the largest sources of revenue in terms of a single state. New York, you know, it's a big state.
You think about New York City alone. A lot of people hold up in their apartments gambling all day or placing wagers or you know, playing games, whatever you want to call it.
Right. And, you know, there is a concern in our society about gambling addiction and the like, and the speed with which these games are played. You know, it's so frequent that...
cause people to get into trouble in a hurry.
Of money that we're talking about. You know, it's not like putting $5 down on some type of wager. You know, some of the amounts at risk are very substantial, and we'll just have to see how it plays out. But it's an interesting story.
Absolutely, and I think very interesting. But I also think when you're gambling in a live venue, there are some controls in place. You know, the house is watching the players. Here, there's probably not much they can do to monitor the activity and who it is that's playing, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, back to, again, regulating and making sure that consumers are protected. That's the AG's job, right? Yeah.
That's it.
One of them, anyways. Mark Furman, always a pleasure to have you on, our business litigation reporter from Tarlow Breed, Hart & Rogers. And if you can remind our listeners how to get in touch with you.
I can be reached at 617-218-2025 or at mfurman, F-U-R-M-A-N, at tbhr-law.com.
Excellent, Mark. Always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back on Radio Entrepreneurs.